Last week on the episode, we took you through the early life of Dorothea Puente, or Dorothea Gray, as she was known then. We walked you all the way through her first arrests and the first murder. And we left you on her arrest where she was captured for misuse of funds from the residents of the boarding house. So we're going to pick up today on her stint in prison.
I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
Power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. Pants where we dive into all the facts. I fucked that up pretty
Mr.
hard.
Fancy facts where we dive into all the pants.
In the past, so don't bring it up now. That was a long time ago. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Forget it. You saw nothing.
I didn't think I was going to. I thought I was going to have to wait a long time to use this, but.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
I mean, you went right there, right off the bat.
I didn't. No. No,
right
I
into
didn't.
The jump. Right
I
into
certainly
the jump.
Didn't. I certainly didn't. I don't think I did. I don't think I did. Zach, how you doing, my man?
I'm new. If I was any better, man, I'd be you. Shorter and probably 5 pounds heavier than I am right now.
I'm gonna say set your sights a little higher than me right
well,
now.
Well, you see, the thing you is, should. Man, I'm already taller than you, so
that's
I'm,
true.
You're already technically higher than
one inch, height. Motherfucker. So, 1 inch.
I thought it was a little higher than that.
I've heard an inch counts.
Have you?
Every little inch helps.
I've got girth. I don't have length. What's up?
I didn't say an inch which way. I just said an inch.
Jack, babe. Then shut up, Lindy.
Any inch way but loose. I don't know.
I don't think you want me to shut up today because
no, I don't. I don't.
It's my episode. We're gonna
That's
sit
true.
Here in a lot of silence.
I'm gonna eat it. Let's have it.
Okay.
I don't care how many inches I have to eat it. Let's go.
You did it. Oh my god. That's standing.
In case you're wondering why my eyes were closed when I did the intro, it's because we've been having a day like this where I couldn't look at the screen because I would just laugh. It's fine. So
we were making faces.
Mm-hmm. And let's face it, we're pretty fucking funny looking to begin with. So
might as well be cartoon characters anyway. So
Abity, that's all, folks.
Mm-hmm. Something for Family Guy. But, no, I'll start this off with a little story that me and my brother went over to my sister's house and was working on their... It's called the smoke room? And it's like
smoke
a...
Room.
It's like a tiny...
Room?
It's what like a tiny room? Little house outside of their house that they bought.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, like... There's, like, a kitchen in it. And there's a bathroom in the back, but it's, like, just, like, a tiny little area.
So it's like a little tiny house, or
yep, basically okay. Right next to it.
Okay,
me and my brother was at his house, and he's had this hammer. Was that East Wing hammer that he's had since fucking forever? Like he bought this thing when he just started work in construction because that's what he's done. He's always been a construction worker. He knows how to do shit, and I don't, which is why it's great that he's my brother because he can help me out with shit.
Because
I can
it's
play guitar. He can build shit. I was like, I can tell you what it needs to look like. He can build it. So it's great. But we're looking for this hammer all over his fucking garage. And I'm like, dude, are you sure you didn't take it somewhere? He goes, no, I just used it the other day on this fucking door. Because we just changed the door. But I wasn't home. I was on the road then, so I didn't help him. His neighbor came over, our other neighbor came over and helped him change his door. So he's like, no, I had it here when I did that, but I can't find it. Fuck it. We'll just go. I'll use this hammer. I'm like, okay. So we get to Crystal's house that she just bought that's super not haunted. So we're out there. We go out there. It's the second we walk in there, and we're like, we got to rip up the floors in this place. Well, there's this like metal table, this old school metal table, like white top with red around it, with a sliding drawer. I know my mom used to have one of those a long time ago. Those are like super popular. Jared, and the only thing on top of it was like a, it's like what you would post up on top of your house, like weather vane, but had big rooster on the top of it. And I thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh, I asked my sister if I can have that, because I think it'd be funny to take it home and tell my wife I want to put that on top of her house. She'd be like, no, you ain't. Well, I wasn't going to ask you. I was just going to do it, and then you come home and see it.
Honey, look at this. It's nice, ain't it? I like it.
So he moves that. I move this. And I'm like, dude, wouldn't it be crazy if your hammer just popped up here? He turns around, and that motherfucking hammer is on that table that he just moved with that weather vane on top of
it. No fucking way.
Yeah. No, it was sitting there. He was like, uh-uh. He goes, no.
Did you go, you can't touch this. Do, do, do.
No. Can't I didn't this. Say shit. I was just like, I was like, what? I was like, that wasn't there a second. I swear to God, I'm not lying to anybody. That hammer was not on that table when he moved it, because he picked it up by himself and moved it over while I was moving something else.
So
all I seen was that weather vane. But then he turns around, his hammer is sitting right there. So we talked to Crystal, and she's like, yeah, but wasn't you out here like a week ago? And he's like, yeah. Well, didn't you have your hammer with you? Yeah. Well, that's probably why it's in there, because we didn't even go in there. We was doing electrical work in here. My hammer stayed in my car the whole time. I used it the other day on my door. Yeah, I haven't been out here since.
Yeah. So who's haunted here? let's look at the list.
I don't know.
Yeah, your sister's house is totally fucking haunted.
We're in there ripping up the floor on this place, and I'm not afraid of a lot of things, but heights bother me.
Yeah.
What was that? And we were ripping up the floor. Well, it's like an 8-foot drop to a concrete floor underneath these beams that aren't super solid yet. We're trying to make them solid so we can put a new solid floor in it.
And you're like looking down doing this shit?
Yeah, as we're pulling it up. So we pull up one thing, and I'm telling Jared, I'm like, dude, if you fall, I'm going to try to grab you. But, and then the fucking, there's a stove range kind of thing in there, the old school shit. And the fucking door to the oven just fucking drops.
Open.
And I'm like, did you touch that? He goes, I wasn't even close to it. He goes, one more fucking thing and I'm out of here.
Shit.
So it's like, I don't have to live here. I don't know.
Sounds like my house on a regular basis.
Whatever, dude. Fucking stove just opens for no reason. I just put the this old chair in front of it.
If you ever come to visit in Texas, I'm gonna rent you a nice room at the Hilton, like a mile away. I don't need that.
You're
shit.
Not even allowed to stay with me.
You can come in.
I don't know what you're bringing.
Yeah. You leave that ghost shit at home, all right?
We can't treat Lindy like she's herpes.
You keep that evil off me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that kind of evil on me.
Don't you put that kind of evil on me. You're going to bring something nasty over here. I don't know. I know Dylan jokes. Can't
just
wait.
Jokes, folks. Just jokes. Just jokes.
No, of course they're jokes. Everybody knows they're jokes.
I don't know,
talk
Matt.
To her like that on purpose.
Kids today don't know. They don't know. They don't get it.
I don't like kids.
Yeah, I got a couple myself. Yeah, I get it.
I don't like most people. Are you racist? Yeah, I hate everybody.
Well, that's not a racist. You're not a racist. You just hate everyone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Unless you're cool. I'm okay with cool. Yeah. Jim.
All right, so Lindy.
Yes.
Last week, my Dorothea was headed to jail after she tried to go to Mexico.
She was apprehended at the airport on her way to Mexico.
Well, you know, probably saved her some diarrhea from drinking the water. Anyway.
Well, she was brush headed
your teeth.
Home.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Since she grew up there with 18 brothers and sisters and a loving family.
Oh, I apologize.
18. How did that woman ever walk?
18? Well, you know, that was a bunch of horseshit because we all know from last week her real childhood.
Yeah.
But by this time, Dorothea was an old hat at prison life. She breezed through groups and gangs, and everybody listened to her tall tales in awe. This time, though, Dorothea made a huge mistake.
Uh-oh.
Yes. There had been a prisoner who had assaulted another prisoner, and it was all right to talk to prisoners about things that happened, but Dorothea didn't just have prisoners' ears. She also had guards' ears. Mm. And she let the name of the prisoner who had committed the assault slip to a guard.
Snitches. Yeah, she's a rat bitch. Yeah, that's not going to work out well for you.
So Dorothea ended up being cornered in the shower, and she was beaten nearly to death, and they left her there to bleed out.
The only thing different in a mental prison is you've been raped pretty fucking hard.
I'm going to give it to you, and then,
the top ropes.
She was sent to the hospital wing, and then she was transferred to solitary confinement while they were waiting for things in the prison to die down. But
like Dorothea?
Yes. But
you rat bitch.
This snitching actually caused a huge war between two rival gangs in the prison, so it took nearly a year for things in the prison to calm down.
Wow.
But while Dorothea was in solitary, she decided that she was going to start using the prison pen pal system, which is where people basically can write in. Yeah, they can write in and talk to prisoners. And she had several people that she was talking to, but she ended up capturing the heart of Everson Gilmouth.
Sounds like a fucking fish.
Yes.
It sounds like, I thought it was a Harry Potter character. What kind of name is that?
She got him hook, line, and sinker, Gilmouth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Everson Gilmouth was a 70-year-old widower who lived in Oregon, and all of his kids were grown. They lived in different places, so this man was quite lonely. And
was he so ronery?
Ronery.
Ronery and sadry around.
Yes. Well, when Dorothea was released, Everson was there waiting to pick her up. So he had sold all of his stuff in Oregon and decided that he was going to move up to California to be with Dorothea. Wow. And
what a dumb bastard.
In his name, they rented another house on F Street, and they started to prep it for boarding. And they also opened a joint bank account together.
Bad idea. This is a super bad idea.
Everson had his pension redirected to that account. So basically, this is Dorothea's money now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joint bank accounts are terrible. I'll just say it.
Yes. Yes, they are. Don't do it. This is your warning.
Yeah, don't do it. You can trust somebody all day long, but
yeah, never with money.
Just keep it. Just keep it.
Mm-hmm. Just never keep with it. Money.
I'd rather you cheat on me than take all my shit.
So, even though Dorothea was not supposed to have a boarding house,
it was okay for him to have one.
It was okay for him to have one, but they knew Dorothea was involved. So the state kind of turned a blind eye because this time she was taking in the worst of the worst. She was taking in people straight out of prison, people who...
Straight out of Compton?
Yeah.
Crazy motherfucking name, Ice Cube. I can't continue. the lyrics.
They basically were taking in people who were extremely violent, couldn't stay on their medications, were essentially about to die. So just people that nobody else was willing to take in or help.
I know you're seeing red, but all I'm seeing is green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, during all of this, Everson realized the truth about his bride-to-be, but you can't guess when.
Uh-oh.
About 5 minutes before he OD'd.
As he lay dying in bed.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of her MO.
Yeah, this time...
Angel of Death! Launch in the kingdom of the dead.
So this time, Dorothea wouldn't be turning a body over to the police the way that she had done with Ruth. She needed his pension to continue to flow into their joint account. So instead of doing that, instead of calling and saying that someone had passed, Dorothea wrapped Everson and all of the soiled fabrics from their bed in plastic sheets, and she sewed them together to form a cocoon.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
And yes.
Okay.
And I promise you, through all of
you
the...
well.
Through all
around
of the...
the lake tonight.
Sorry.
Through all of the communities and all of the work that Dorothy had done on the previous house at F Street and now this house at F Street in the construction process, she had met a carpenter named Ishmael Flores, and he was actually an ex-con as well, so he wasn't getting very much work, that kind of stuff. So he knew that Dorothy had...
for me.
Yeah, he knew that Dorothea paid really well, and she contacted him, and she had him come to the house and put up a wood paneling in her apartments that were above the rest of the boarding house. So, like, you know, the old school houses that had, like, half walls that were wood, and the top half was, like, just the wall or whatever. He came and did that for her. And then she also asked him if he would build a 6-foot box for her books that had, essentially a casket.
Can you build me a casket for my books?
Yeah, essentially. So Ishmael was like, yeah, I can do that for you.
It's not too many books. It's about 6 to, maybe 190 pounds of books.
I don't give a fuck what it's for as long as it pays.
Yeah. So he built her the box and he brought it to the house, and she was like, okay, I'll call you when I'm ready to transport this. I'm going to put some older stuff in it and I'm going to have you...
She's like 70-year-old stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have
some older stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to have you help me transport it to storage. So he was like, okay, for payment of all of this, Everson had a almost brand new little red pickup truck. So that is how she paid Ishmael, was with the truck. So she was like,
but
I'll
Lindy,
give you
Lindy,
this.
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm. She gave him the truck.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Well, see, here's the thing. When Ishmael showed up to help Dorothea load the box, she had nailed down the lid to make it easier to transport.
Here's
so that
some fucking vampire books, and we got to fucking lock them in there.
No.
Yeah, so that on the way to storage, in the bed of the truck, the lid wouldn't lift and send all of the stuff out.
Gotcha.
Now, smell? If a carpenter was worth his, there was no smell because she had wrapped it in plastic sheeting.
Oh, okay.
So well, if a carpenter is worth his weight in wood, that lid wouldn't have come up. It was a wood box, right? Yeah. It's already heavy enough, I would say.
Yeah. I'm not a carpenter, and I'd make sure it wouldn't come up.
Yeah. He didn't question her. He helped her load the truck. And while they were on their way across town to storage, Dorothea suddenly stopped him at this popular dumping ground. And she was like, you know what? Actually, I've decided I don't want to transport this to storage. Let's just dump this here. So he...
So you're telling me that she paid this guy to build a box to store all her books. And halfway there, she's like, fuck it. Fuck him. Fuck it. I don't want this shit anymore. Let's fucking dump it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, either she's really fucking crazy or
yes.
We're dumping the body.
Yeah.
Yes and exactly. Yes.
At the same time, he's probably like, fuck it. I got a truck out of this.
Yeah, the guy was like, you know what?
You don't give a shit. I don't give a
whatever.
Shit.
Whatever. It's this popular dumping ground. It's kind of, it's by a river. Like, there's all kinds of trash and stuff down there. So they throw it in, like, down, and it ends up landing in the water, like, half in the water, half not.
Around the lake tonight?
Yeah. So...
By myself.
He took her home, and he actually never got a call from Dorothea again for any work, but he didn't really care because now he had damn near brand new transportation, right?
He's got a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ask questions either. I'd be like, fucking run on. Let's do it. I wouldn't care if it was like rolled up in a carpet and I see the feet hanging out of the back of his leg. You're going to give me this truck? Okay, I'll drive. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's like, your business shit. I don't care.
Yeah.
Everson was found by some fishermen in early 1986, but because of the cocoon and the water, the way that he had decomposed beyond recognition, and he was buried as a John Doe.
Oh, fuck. That's why you don't, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, that's why you don't hike. Don't hike.
Or fish.
Don't be a hiker. Because they are the ones that find bodies all the time. If you hike, you will find a dead body. So don't go bitching. I was just going out for my jog this morning and I found a body. Don't be bitching.
I thought it was a mannequin.
Just fucking sit at home. Stay at home. You won't find shit.
Yeah. Dorothea was making a killing at the new boarding house.
Where's my fucking rim shot at? God damn it.
She was raking in about $5,000 a month.
$5,000 a month?
A month.
And this is
1986.
Holy
shit.
That's
baller. That's, you're doing all right, yeah.
She had her residence checks going straight into her account, and she would pay them just enough to get them to go out and find their vice. So, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is.
She's a fucking
Valium,
pimp.
Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy,
alcohol. Yep.
But here was the genius part of her scam.
It sounds like it's all genius. Fucking, she's pimping people, but it's not for the same reason. It's just,
she would give them just enough to go out and find their vice, and then she would call in an anonymous tip and get them arrested.
Oh.
So she would hold their room until they got out, but she continued to get their checks, and then she would rent another room on top of it. So she basically had this on a schedule where she could double and triple book these rooms and get all of that money.
I don't think cunt has been more deserved other than
she's a fucking conniving genius level psychopath is what she is.
Sociopath, yeah. For sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, fucking hell.
There were two residents at the boarding house who basically planted roots. Like, they didn't plan on going anywhere. This was good. They were really trying to better themselves. The house was good. They were getting a steady meal. They were had a place to sleep. It was not super expensive. They weren't getting a ton of money. So they couldn't go out really and get what was, you know, what their vice was or anything like that. So the two of them.
So that, what you're telling me is this bitch basically pretended she was the U.S. government.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is what they do. This is what they do.
Yep. No, you nailed it. Yeah, you fucking nailed it.
The two residents at the that had taken up roofs at the house were Dorothy Miller and Benjamin Fink. Dorothy was a 64-year-old Native American woman who had had a very rough life and was very fond of liquor. And she...
No, Indian jokes? No,
I'm
Indian
not jokes. Saying anything.
Nope.
I'm not saying anything. I had a few flow through my head.
30 seconds. It's okay. We can do that. I got a card.
Well, back in the day, I just didn't say them.
So, Dorothy was very fond of Dorothea. She loved hanging around Dorothea and listening to her stories. And in Dorothea, Dorothy felt like she had a listening ear and a kinship because Dorothea's made up life was kind of similar to what Dorothy had gone through, which Dorothea really had gone through some shit when she was little. But Dorothy, due to her history, she had night terrors and she did take sleeping pills. And when Dorothea realized how keen on her Dorothy was, Dorothea invited Dorothy up to her rooms, which was
There's a lot of double D action going on here.
When someone was invited up to Dorothea's room, you pretty much guarantee that
they're going to die. You're going to
come back down eventually. So Dorothea took the woman upstairs, and now remember that Dorothea kept very high end liquor in her rooms. So she would mix them drinks and they would sit together and drink, which is Dorothy's vice. And at the same time, Dorothea was dosing the woman with sleeping pills. So,
oh shit. So she's getting blasted with hard liquor and sleeping pills.
Yes. It didn't take long. Dorothy.
I guess I never woke up again.
I slept 4 days.
And Benjamin Fink was a 55-year-old man, and he had been an alcoholic, but was honestly devoted to his recovery.
You can't say Fink, and I don't have the Misfits song Rat Fink pop in my fucking head.
Unfortunately, during Benjamin's time on the streets, he had developed pneumonia and it had never been taken care of, so his lungs had never recovered.
Oh, shoot. So
he spent a lot of time in his room by himself, very, very ill, because even if he got just a little bit of a cough, it was made worse because his lungs had never healed from that pneumonia.
So it's kind of crippling.
So Dorothea cared for him, and when he actually got a very bad cough, like he was actually ill, she took him upstairs to her rooms to care for him, and he died.
Shocker.
Yes.
Angel of death.
But she cared for him with a drug overdose as well.
Uh-huh.
So unlike...
She thought she probably put him out of his misery.
Put me out of my misery.
I've got all these fucking old school, like 1990s fucking horrible alternative band songs stuck in my head today for some reason.
I got Tom Araya screaming in my head because it was like Angel of Death.
So, unlike with Everson, these two people never left the property. Dorothea hired the city's most terrifying ex-con. His name was Chief. As her personal handyman.
There's the Indian joke. That's what I've been waiting for.
Yeah. Chief was someone who didn't talk to anybody. He was...
What the fuck's Nighthawk doing here?
Me no.
She's never played Mortal Kombat.
He was okay. A very, big man, very muscular man, and to most people, he was terrifying to look at, let alone add the fact that he's an ex-con and an alcoholic on top of it. People were just terrified of him. Like,
so he looked like Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
I'm picturing.
Yeah.
Fucking.
So people in the city didn't give him the time of day. They wouldn't help him with a job. They wouldn't anything. So Dorothea hired him, gave him a room, and he redid all of the grounds for Dorothea. So Dorothea's house was very, very renowned for her gardens, and she had him completely dig up
the bodies that fucking fertilized.
She had him dig up all of the gardens and everything and rearrange them and redo grass and redo everything, and then
bury some bodies, then bury some more bodies, and then bury some more bodies.
Some more bodies. At this point,
Lindsay does these episodes all the time.
This is light. I can handle it.
It's pretty light.
This one is very light compared
to very light to the last one, but I just keep thinking of like, I'm just glad we got
some angry bitch killing people. No more fucking Albert Fish. That's all.
You got some angry bitch killing people constantly and burying them in the yard. Yeah, it throws me back to a past episode that we've done. If you haven't listened, you probably should.
Yeah, while you still can.
Yes.
So he redid the grounds, and in redoing the grounds, she had him lay down the foulest smelling fertilizer anyone had ever smelled. The neighbors complained, but she said, oh, it's just the new fertilizer for my grounds. Wait until it's turned into the ground and it will not smell as bad. Give it a few days.
It's made of people. Soil and Green is made of people.
Definitely not to cover anything up.
So also in the old houses, and I'm sure that they're still around, but once upon a time, houses didn't have concrete floors. They were just dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And the house on F Street was no different. It was a dirt floor in the basement. So
sounds
she
like
had
another house I'm thinking of in the Chicago suburbs that had a dirt floor.
I will get to that house eventually.
We're going
to
go HH? We're going to go HH?
No, that is Gacy.
That's Gacy.
Oh, no, not that one. We can't do that.
Oh, yes, we can. And
yes,
I will.
We will. Yes, we will. Well,
I'm not even clowning around here, Matt.
I'm sorry. I can get out of these handcuffs. I'll show you how. Do you want to try them?
No. Let's. Hey, back to Dorothea. Come on.
Okay.
Stay on target.
So Dorothea had Chief start digging up the basement floor, and she was going to have concrete poured to keep the house cooler during the long summers. Coincidentally, at the same time that Chief was digging up this basement, residents were disappearing rather quickly.
Uh-oh.
Was it a dirty black summer?
I got a dirty black summer. Winning. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to go get my guitar here in just a second. You can't just say that and then it goes out of my head. Okay.
In this time, Dorothea took on a boarder who was not a victim of circumstance so much as of her own health.
I thought you were going to say circumcision. I don't.
Oh. No.
I don't think she would have to worry about a circumcision.
I don't know.
The world is right now, who the fuck knows?
Yeah. So this woman's name was Betty Palmer, and she was a wise woman. Who figured out that
Palmer dropped me for a second because I was thinking, Twin Peaks.
So this woman had always done like all of her own banking, and like I said, she wasn't in the boarding house because she had been on the streets or anything like that. She was there because her health was failing her and she needed to pay medical bills.
Poor woman off on a bad foot. Yeah.
Yeah. So this woman figured out.
No, man, they cut the bad one off.
She figured out that her checks were being cashed illegally. And so she called her bank and was like, hey, don't cash another check without photo ID. You need to be making sure that this is me because checks are being cashed fraudulently.
It's all good. We can vote right now without even an ID. It's fine. Nobody cares.
What she didn't do though was report Dorothea to authorities.
Probably should have.
Yeah. So the she two women tie were
one
actually
and two together.
So Dorothea and Betty were basically in a feud for a little while, and they treated each other like shit, but Dorothea decided that she was going to bury the hatchet, and she invited Betty up to her rooms for some drinks, and
bury the hatchet in her head? That's the hardest.
So she invited Betty up to her room for some drinks, and so that Dorothea could formally apologize to the woman. Mm-hmm. Instead of being pumped full of drinks, she was pumped full of drugs, and she passed before she could even crawl into her own bed.
Who the fuck is... This has to be a charming bitch. I mean, really charming to get...
Well, remember, Dorothea, she's only 56, but at this
looks point, like she's fucking 80.
But she looked like she was, yeah, between 75 and 80. She didn't, you know, she had... That girl had been rode hard and put away wet, okay? She had...
Right, tea, right.
She not was... Like,
unlike a fine wine and cheese, she did not age well.
Age well, yeah.
She aged like milk.
And she put on that grandmotherly persona, so... And... It's not the same today, like, be rude, stay alive.
I don't know, I have, like, alert things that pop up every once in a while. When I hear somebody say something, I'm like, I'm out of this. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with this. Then I'm going to go. But I guess now, if you're though, drugged.
Go back to the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
When it was in flight to be rude.
She'd have been like, I've got cocaine upstairs. I'm like, okay.
Did you say
right? Cocaine? So Betty needed to be
unrecognized. Did I miss an amount?
God, I hope you are. I didn't know you did.
It's terrible cocaine. Time right now. It's a terrible time.
Hey, Matt.
Sorry if I'm low energy right now.
Matt. Drugs are bad, okay? Uh-huh. Drugs are bad.
Okay.
I'll pick it up next week.
Don't do it.
Betty needed to be made unrecognizable quick because Dorothea was worried that somebody actually would come looking for her. So her hands and feet were cut off and placed outside the city, and her body was buried in the garden.
But that's some biblical shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you're trying to show somebody.
Oh, it was her head, hands, and feet. Sorry.
That's like you're trying to show somebody, don't fuck with us.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes.
No, just head, hands, and toes, feet.
Okay.
that's mafia shit. I don't know what the fuck. This bitch is crazy.
Yes. Liana Carpenter was a 77-year-old woman who was battling cancer. And after her most recent surgery, she was taken to Dorothea's boarding house. Dorothea cared for the woman until it became too much for her.
So
that took a day and a half.
She changed the bedtime one time and she said, fuck this shit, you're going to die now.
You're going to die! Welcome to the garden.
you prefer Jay Leno over Letterman, which I agree with. But
I
prefer Letterman, but she got so mad. It's just like, you're done.
So because of the surgery, Leona was taking a cocktail of medication anyway, so Dorothea just slipped a few extra pills in there. Yeah. And,
what was it she was using exactly?
Sleeping pills.
Just sleeping pills.
Sleeping pills. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can put it in milk. So you can put it in food. You can put it in liquor. You can put it in this. There's fried shrimp, boiled shrimp.
Mashed taters.
Shrimp tacos, shrimp sandwich.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
That's a Forrest Gump reference, by the way, if you don't get that.
Next up.
I want shrimp. Damn it.
I'm so happy I don't eat seafood right now because all you did was just made me go.
I'm with Lindy on that one. I don't eat seafood either.
I do. Yeah. I want crab legs right now. Immediately. I just want crab legs. Not so, those fucking small motherfuckers either. I want the king crab legs, dude. Next all that butter, garlic, just put it in a glass. I'll just drink it while I'm eating it.
Don't make her puke on the podcast, Matt.
I can't wait. All right, I'm done.
I'm not good with that.
Next, I don't want to edit that out. Was James Gallup and Carol Dunning. Carol caused hell for Dorothea.
Uh-oh.
She tried to rally the house to get them to take control back of their funds and stop allowing Dorothea to decide when they got it and how much.
Take the power back. Sorry.
Fortunately for Carol, she actually moved out after about 6 months.
So she's longer than I would have.
She lived.
She lived. Unfortunately for James, he bought into what Carol said and he treated Dorothea like shit. Like, just was awful to her. Not that she didn't deserve it.
No, but she did.
But she didn't even bring this guy up.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Yeah.
She didn't even offer to bring him up to her rooms. She overdosed his mashed potatoes, and he died in the living room.
Nope.
Death by mashed potatoes?
Don't you fuck with my mashed potatoes.
Yeah. He died in the living room.
What a cunt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst.
I tell you what, I can think of worse ways to go.
Well, I can think of worse ways to go too. Drowning, burning, alive.
Death by mashed potatoes seems pretty tame. So I'd
take that. I'm gonna eat some foul tasting mashed potatoes. I'm gonna go sit in my armchair in the living room and I'm gonna fucking pass out and just not wake up.
Yeah, that's okay. I guess
it doesn't sound like the most miserable way.
It doesn't make it good, but it
do you remember the fish episodes, Matt? Do you remember those? Because I definitely remember those. I'm scarred now.
No.
That's pretty fucking tame. I'd take it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take the mashed potatoes over what he made other people eat.
Mm-hmm. Make sure
they'll take that.
There'd be some fucking sour cream in it.
Those aren't my favorite mashed potatoes.
I'm just going to tell everybody right now, I'm really sorry. This is going to turn into a longer episode.
We won't shut the fuck up and let Lindy talk. This is a problem.
And you're muting myself right about now.
Okay, I'm good.
The smells coming from Dorothea's house at this point were foul. You could smell them all through the neighborhood. She was blaming things like fertilizers and rats in the pipes or in the walls, and she was blaming old pipes, basically old plumbing, for...
Yeah, but that smells like sulfur.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell like rotting flesh. You know what the smell of a rotting carcass smells like.
Yeah.
Actually, Matt, I don't.
You don't?
Maybe you do because you've got one under your house.
Not anymore?
not anymore. You poured the concrete.
You can't prove shit. You can't prove a fucking thing. Go on, Lindy.
During the neighbors complaining about the smells coming from Dorothea's house, she finally had the basement concreted, which terminated most of those smells for them. And then out back, she had an old greenhouse type thing up, and she decided that she was going to knock it down. They were going to dig and pour concrete slab out back and put like a shed on it. So Chief had been working on that for quite some time, and it's finally ready to have the concrete laid. It was just it was missing one thing. It just needed like there was a giant hole still in the back corner, but Chief had
we gotta get a way to fill that, don't we?
Yeah. Chief had already laid out like all of the frames and everything for the concrete slab. Everything was ready to go. It just, that one back corner just needed to be filled in with the dirt, and then the concrete could be poured. So after a particularly hard day of work, Dorothea invited Chief up to her rooms for the good liquor that she kept locked up there. And this actually was a fairly normal occurrence. Chief was invited up there quite frequently so that they could discuss like the layout of things. Yeah. The layout of the property and the layout what's gonna of happen it, yeah. next, projects, that kind of stuff. But anyway, it wasn't uncommon for the residents to see Chief go upstairs.
Chief goes upstairs, take care of business.
So nobody really thought that was strange at all. They did, however, think it was a little strange when Chief disappeared. And
what the fuck? She killed Chief. What did he do?
So Chief knew that she was killing people.
God damn it. I feel bad for Chief. Because
he was helping her bury them. Who do you think was... I mean, Chief was digging the plots and
helping... She fatality Nighthawk. Yeah. And I don't like it.
Yeah. So the next day, Dorothea was outside pouring concrete by herself. So she's outside smoothing out concrete, and everybody's like, where's Chief? He's always here helping you. And she was like, you know what? Chief actually picked up his last paycheck last night, and he said he was gone. He was leaving town.
What a bitch.
So...
on a midnight train to Georgia?
Basically, yeah. People thought that was a little bit weird because Chief had been there for a few years now, like 3 years, mm-hmm. but he was still an ex-con, and maybe he had just decided that he was a drifter and it was time to go. Nobody really questioned that at all, and they actually helped her finish the concrete. With Chief gone, Dorothea did have to slow down on the murders, but she was living too easy with all of this free money, basically, to altogether just put a stop to killing people.
It seems like she's got no repercussions for anything, so she's got nothing to worry about. Like, everything else has worked out, so she's not even scared anymore. She's fucking go at it.
She's not worried about it. And remember, she's also basically always under the watch of the state because she's running a boarding house.
Yeah, but they're not... Yeah, she's... Yeah, fuck, yeah. It's crazy. She's just right there where if you were that kind of person at that time, you could just keep doing that shit because nobody's going to know.
Well, at this point, she had worked this out to so much of a science that a woman named Vera Martin came into the house. She signed the necessary papers, which basically made Dorothea her conservator. Like, she had conservatorship over her funds. While Vera was signing the papers, Dorothea handed her a drink in the living room. Vera never even made it to see her room. That's how much of a science, yeah. That's how much of a science Dorothea has gotten this down to at this point.
She could control how long it's going to last. You'd just be done in an instant.
Yeah. So, there was a woman named Judy Moise, and she was a member of the Volunteers of America. And she really enjoyed her work, and she took a very special interest in the extremely difficult cases. And there was a man who was a gentle giant of a man. I'm going to wait just a second before I tell you his name, because there's going to be jokes involved.
Okay.
This man, he went by Bert, and Bert, so he was...
Hey, Bert.
He grew up in Puerto Rico with his family, and they had come over, and he had schizophrenia. So,
oh fuck. Yeah. All right.
And he had never, so when they came over, basically he migrated here with his mom and his sister. And when he migrated here, his sister ended up getting separated. So he didn't know much about her, but his mom passed away. And Bert was put into a rehabilitation center where he was taught that drugs are bad, right? Drugs and alcohol are really bad. So Bert actually didn't partake in alcohol and he didn't partake in drugs. But in this, he thought that his... Ebert. In this, he thought that all drugs were bad, so he wouldn't take his prescribed medication for his schizophrenia.
Drugs are bad, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Judy did a bunch of digging on Bert's life, and she found out that Bert's real name was Alvaro Jose Rafael Gonzalez Montoya.
How many possible names can you have and change it to Bert? No, I just want to be Bert. I'm good with Bert.
Well,
I've got too many fucking names. I know that I'm on Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, prepared to die. But
so Bert was given this name because he spoke very, very little English. And there was another person who lived. So basically, Bert lived outside of the recovery center in like a shed. And there was another person staying there with him. And the guy was talking to him. And when Bert introduced himself, he said Alvaro. But the guy thought he said Alberto. So he just started calling him Bert. And it stuck.
He just didn't correct anybody.
Yeah. Yeah,
Bert, that works. I'm fine. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. So Judy did a bunch of digging. She found his name. She found out that his mom passed away. She found out that he was here legally. So she was able to help him obtain Social Security and medical assistance and housing. And word had gotten to Judy that Dorothea's was a great place, especially for non-English
people that wanted to die.
It was for basically non-English speaking residents because Dorothea could speak Spanish. So Judy
she learned
went
it from
visited...
her 14 brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Judy went and visited Dorothea's home, and when she walked in, the residents were in the parlor. They were playing games. There was like an old record player going that was playing Spanish style music. Dorothea was in the kitchen cooking. It was clean. There was food. The residents were happy. Like it just looked like a very good place to be. So Judy decided that this would be a good placement for Bert, and that's where Bert ended up.
Bert, get your ass in here.
Yeah. So Dorothea actually really, really took a shine to Bert. When he came to the house, she cleaned him up. So they bought a new wardrobe. When he moved in, he had this, like, he had a really long beard and just completely unkempt hair. He was dirty. The only person that he was really willing to talk to for the most part was himself, because it was the voices in his head that he was talking to.
What does any of this has to do with gay porn?
Not much.
not even a little.
So she cleaned him up, got him a new wardrobe, and he was even allowed to come into the kitchen and assist her. And the kitchen was somewhere that was closed off to the residents, period. They were not allowed into the kitchen. That was Dorothea's area. Mm-hmm. So
no one see me putting arsenic in everything they're eating. You know, I don't want them to see.
Yeah.
Dumping all these chemicals into certain people's dishes.
Arsenic, she just OD them that way. It looked like they
did it themselves. And in living in this type of environment and community and having Dorothea assist him, he actually was able to start stringing together like whole sentences in English, and he was starting to better understand other people. So,
excuse me, Miss Dorothea. Yeah. Where is the bathroom? I need to take a shit. I've had the diarrheas since Easter's.
So the social workers.
I was trying to remember the Spanish word for bathroom, and I can't even do it.
Baño.
Baño.
Baño. Yeah.
Baño.
So his social workers would stop by regularly to check on him, and he was doing fantastic. So they kind of started to slack on visiting him a little bit, but Bert went everywhere with Dorothea. Like if she went out shopping, if she went to the bank, if she went anywhere.
Feed the pigeons.
Yeah, he was with her. And then she started having him do like the garden work that Chief was doing. So he's doing work in the garden and he would be tasked with digging holes. Basically, what Dorothea said was, we're going to plant some trees. So I want you to dig a hole big enough for you to stand in and be able to turn in a full circle. The hole needs to be above your head. And you need to be able to move comfortably.
Were they planting redwoods? For fuck's sake. Why does the hole need to be that big?
Yeah. So Bert actually also started to get invited to Dorothea's rooms, which to the other residents wasn't shocking because Bert was basically Mama's special boy.
Boy. You're my boy, Bert!
So after he started getting invited to Dorothea's rooms, as he would work in the garden, he was starting to slow down because he was starting to feel tired all of the time. And since this was happening, Dorothea was starting to allow him to have some more free time. And he actually had made quite a few friends over at the detox center. So in his free time, he would walk over there and he would talk to his friends. Well, one of his friends happened to be one of the nurses there. And this was a male nurse. And everybody was just basically attributing Bert's tiredness to the fact that he was outside working in the gardens. You know, like he's in better physical health than he's ever been in before. So he's like, I don't understand. Why am I so tired? What's going on? Well, when he decided that he was going to talk to the nurse about why he was so tired, Bert added that Mama was making him take medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So the nurse called Dorothea to come get Bert. And when she arrived, the nurse just questioned the shit out of her. Like, what are you giving him? Why? What's going on? Rada, rada, rada. Well, Dorothea blew a gasket and she flipped. And she was like, you want him back? You can have him back. Take him. If he doesn't want to be in a house where he's cared for and taken care of and all of this, blah, 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 you can just fucking take him back. Take him back. I don't give a shit. So Bert was pulled out into the hall with the nurse, and the nurse was like, do you really want to stay here, or do you want to go back to where you're being cared for? It sounds to me like she's just giving you your schizophrenia medication, so you should take it, because ultimately it's going to help you. So Bert decided that, okay, I'm going to go back to the house with Mama, because that's what he called Dorothea. And they walked down the street arm in arm. He escorted her home. And that night to basically apologize and to make amends, Bert was invited up to Dorothea's rooms. And he was so tired that even the voices in his head were quiet. And Dorothea allowed him to go lay down on her bed, which was something Bert was never allowed to do. He was never allowed out of the parlor in Dorothea's bedrooms or in Dorothea's rooms upstairs.
But she, funnily enough, the sheets were plastic that night.
The sheets were plastic. She actually essentially buried him alive.
Dexter setup kind of shit.
So this was how she did to everyone when they were invited up to her rooms. There was always plastic on the bed, and she just cocooned them like she had with Everson. So he was pumped full of pills. She killed him. She wrapped him up in the cocoon. And the next day, the peach tree arrived. And every resident...
She's another... What was it? Shit, I can't think of her name.
Belle?
Belle. This is like... She's like another Belle, only not... She's probably not as evil.
No, she's probably just as evil. She's just not as ugly, and she doesn't have any pigs.
But
and she wasn't taking ads out in the paper that were
odd. And she didn't kill her kids. Exactly. That's the only reason why this woman's right. A little bit above it.
Just gave them away. Yeah.
So residents and neighbors and everyone, when the peach tree arrived, were super surprised to find that Bert wasn't beside Dorothea. He was always with Dorothea. And with tears just filled to the brim, or with eyes just filled to the brim with tears, she told everyone that Bert had gotten a call from his sister, and he decided that he was going to go live with his sister and her husband. Everyone felt sorry for Dorothea, and they knew that Bert was her baby, and Bert was going to be very missed among the community, among the home, just going to be very missed. Well, Judy stopped by a few days later to check on Bert, and she was told that Bert was ill and he was asleep in his room, but not to worry, that he was being very well cared for. Judy was super unsettled by this, and like something about the explanation just didn't sit right with her. So Judy asked Bert's actual caseworker, Peggy, to follow up. And Peggy called and was given the same story. And this went on for a few days until Peggy actually threatened to pick Bert up and take him to the hospital. And Dorothea was able to talk out the situation with Peggy and
Mr.
say,
Superman, you know, now is here.
Well, she was like, just give me a couple more days. He's almost better. Like, he's getting better. He's just really tired. So the next time that Peggy called, Bert suddenly wasn't just better. He had actually left town. He had decided that
He's good now, right?
Yeah, she basically gave Peggy the same story that she had given the neighborhood, which was that Bert's sister had contacted him, and he was going on vacation with her to Mexico to visit family.
Hey, well, Bert.
If you remember, Bert wasn't from Mexico. He was from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And all of his family, which had been his mom and his sister, had migrated with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's good now. He moved away. He's doing better, right? So everything's good?
So,
I know it's not.
Peggy told Judy this information, and Judy was like, pump the brakes. I know Bert. I know Bert's life better than I know my own fucking life. That's not what's happening here. So Judy decided, no. I'm going to go over there. So
that's
Judy shows up.
That's going to be a soundbite from now on, but just, you know,
no.
So Judy shows up, and she gets the same story from Dorothea. And Judy didn't say shit to Dorothea. She didn't say bullshit, I'm calling your bluff, fuck you, what's going on? Judy decided that she was going to go back over and talk to Peggy about this. And Judy laid down Bert's whole fucking life story on Peggy's desk. And Peggy was like, okay, I'm going to open an investigation into Dorothea.
Was she like, okay? Or was she like, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
That's going to be a fucking soundbite too.
So Peggy she sat on it for the day, and she was like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to open an investigation into this, into Dorothea and what's going on with Bert. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Well, the next morning when Peggy walks into her office, the next day when Peggy walks into her office, her phone is ringing, and she was like, okay. So she answers the phone, and on the other end of the line is Bert's brother-in-law, who informs Peggy, like, basically corroborates the story that they had picked up Bert, they had gone to Mexico, now Bert was going to come live with them in Utah.
Oh, okay.
The caller,
so now he's Mormon.
Yeah. The caller on the other end of the line, however, accidentally signed off with his real name instead of the name that he was supposed to give Peggy. So Peggy found this gentleman who was just someone that Dorothea had hired to make this phone call.
Actor. And,
yeah, he was questioned. And he basically spilled his beans. So Peggy had almost been convinced.
What? They had sex?
No. What were we doing? I don't know.
She said he spilled his beans.
It's okay. And it's okay.
After she had questioned this gentleman about what had happened and why he had placed this call, Peggy decided that this was very strange, and Dorothea was going too far to conceal where Bert was, so she called the police.
Yeah, it does seem like it.
It just happens to be coincidence that Detective John Cabrera, who was a renowned serial killer investigator, is who took that call.
Awesome.
He decided that he was going to go to the boarding house, and he spoke with all of the residents, and then he spoke with everyone individually. And this was even weirder and gave him a terrible feeling because every resident said basically the same thing. There was very little stray from what was said. But at the end of one resident, whose name was John Sharp, at the end of his interview, this guy had made a point to... Yeah, this guy had made a point to stand close to the door, basically, so that he could be heard outside of the door. And before Detective Cabrera could leave, when they shook hands, John Sharp had written a note that he had placed on his palm. And when they shook hands, he slid the note to Detective Cabrera.
Sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm. And the magic. Note said...
They call me the magic man.
Yeah, the note said she's making us lie for her. So Detective Cabrera thanked everybody. He left. He walked down to where he had parked his truck, which was like a street away or something.
You got to sell it. You got to sell it at that point, right?
Mm-hmm. And then every single night, John Sharp left the boarding house to walk to the gas station to buy a pack of cigarettes. So Detective Cabrera had sat there waiting, and John Sharp came. Detective Cabrera picked him up, and they actually went to a little cafe where they could talk freely. And John Sharp told Detective Cabrera the entire story. He told him of the smells. He told him about the garden. He told him about the basement getting done with concrete, the vanishing residents, Dorothea's spending habits, everything. He laid everything out. Well, Detective Cabrera did a full history.
I-34, 097. Bingo!
Yes. He did. He decided to go back to the station. He did a full background check on Dorothea, and he found Dorothea's entire life. And he realized that this may, in fact, be a dangerous situation.
Now, it took him some time since she had, like, what, four fucking last names from previous marriages?
Right. Yeah.
Yes. So Cabrera went and talked to Dorothea's parole officer, and the two of them decided that they were going to try something. So the two of them picked up two or three more uniformed officers and a couple of shovels, and they went to Dorothea's house. Well, they left the shovels in the truck, and when they arrived at Dorothea's house, she greeted them, she offered them tea, she sat, she talked with them freely, willingly. They asked if they could look through the house. And the only thing that was alarming was how much medication Dorothea had up in her rooms. But she was
like, it was off the charts, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was like, well, these are for, you know, like, these ones are for me. And then the rest of these are for various residents who have just left them. And I'm really busy and obviously slightly elderly. And I just haven't been able to take them to a drop, to a prescription drop point yet. So they were like, okay, well, thank you. We appreciate the information. And as they were leaving, Detective Cabrera was like, you know what? Would you mind if I went and dug by that peach tree that you just planted? And
millions of peaches. Peaches for me.
It's for me.
Millions
of peaches.
Peaches
for free.
Look out! And
Dorothea was like, well, why would you want to do that? And he was like, just to give us some peace of mind. You know, it's a fresh dig. And
why would you want to do that? Why would you care?
So, well, Dorothea not only agreed, but they had not brought enough shovels for each officer. And she actually went to her garage and grabbed them some.
She's going to help you out. Fucking hell. She's going to bring you shovels to investigate her. Okay.
Much shovel.
More bad 90s rock. Goddamn UPS guys.
Exactly.
Try the dog insane.
So, yeah, so she brought them shovels and they start digging at the new peach tree and they're pulling out garbage, which she had said that down far enough below the peach tree, they had buried some garbage. Because apparently you used to do that. What the fuck you would do that
People
for?
People used to bury garbage, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
And dead bodies.
So yeah. The officers get far enough in that, and this didn't make any sense to me. Like, I feel like I would have immediately known this is a brand new peach tree, right? Like, it has only been in for a couple of weeks, maybe. Well, they get to a thick tree root that they're not able to get through.
Because it's not a tree root.
How would a freshly planted tree have that thick of a root that you can't fucking get through it?
It wouldn't.
How big is this goddamn peach tree?
It wouldn't.
Them peach trees grow so fast, man. Let me tell you. Woo!
So they can't get through this. And in the meantime, as they're like trying to break this root, there's this jerky type stuff flying up out of the hole at all of them.
Oh, it's not like, jerky. Well, like, it is, but it's not.
This must be fucking part of the garbage that's got, like, clear down to the tree root. Well, Detective Cabrera actually jumps into the hole. And he grabs a hold of the root. And he's yanking. And he finally gets this thing free. And as it frees, he stumbles back and realizes that this isn't a fucking tree root. It's a human femur bone.
And the little pieces that were coming up... They weren't like garbage. They were pieces of human flesh.
They were flesh.
No.
So he
Hungry
comes
now,
up
Matt?
Out of the hole.
How about that shrimp now, buddy?
Yeah.
I'm he still comes down.
Up out of the hole with this, and Dorothea just looks shocked, like, and appalled.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but if the song by Alice in Chains called Down in a Hole, it's about this.
I love that song.
Not really.
That's in my head, though.
So, at this point, she's not arrested because due to the decomposition state of the body, they didn't think it was burnt. So, and back in the early times in California, there were a lot of families who couldn't afford to pay to have bodies buried, so they would bury them in their backyards, basically.
She's buried right in my backyard. Sorry, I'm going to stop now.
So they're trying to figure out if this is a situation like that or what's going on here. So...
California's California.
Yes.
You can be a pedophile there, not getting prosecuted for it.
Cabrera takes Dorothea into the house and she gets herself some tea and is talking, and she's like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? What is this? And he's like, I don't know. I'm going to go back outside for a little while. But he stations men around the house. Well, instead of going back outside, he is like, okay, I have enough evidence right now to actually obtain a warrant for the rest of the property. So he goes to the courthouse. He gets a warrant to search inside the house and to dig up every square inch of that property.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's Friday night. So the next morning on a Saturday, teams actually show up and they ended up uncovering the rest of Leona Carpenter, who was actually buried in the peach tree. As they moved further through the yard, Dorothea is upstairs and she gets herself ready. Like, she's dressed to the nines. She stuffs her pocketbook full of cash. And then she makes her way out into the yard and she finds Detective Cabrera. And she asks him, am I under arrest? And Detective Cabrera says, no, not at all. Can I do for you? And she said, I'm a little shaken and would like to get away from this noise. Would it be all right if I went down to the hotel and got a cup of tea?
Which is like, what, a block and a half away or two blocks?
Yeah, it's about a block and a half away. So he actually drives Dorothea there.
What?
Yes. Then he comes back to the house. Well, he tells her, call me when you're ready for me to come get you, and I'll come back and get you. So he drives back to the house. And as he was doing that, the other detectives have made their way further through the yard. So they're starting to uncover more. And instead of Dorothea calling Detective Cabrera when she's done, she doesn't even go into the hotel. She makes like she's going to go into the hotel, but instead she catches a taxi to the bar. She drinks a couple of screwdrivers. From the bar, she went to the airport. Yeah. From the bar, she went to the airport and she bought a plane ticket to Los Angeles, but she did not catch the plane.
Under the name D.B. Cooper.
From the airport, she made her way to the Greyhound station and she actually did.
Gross.
She did head to L.A. But on a Greyhound bus, you don't have to disclose who you are.
I'm not going
to
go there. I've already done that bit.
No.
Did in the airport. And she learned from the last time that she was arrested at the airport that they could look and see if you had used your ticket or not. So when she bought the ticket to L.A., she figured that they would know that she went somewhere to go somewhere else, which is why she still went to L.A. Because who's going to go to where they bought the plane ticket for?
Who the fuck's going to go to L.A.?
So,
what are you doing?
Where have you gone, my Dorothea?
In L.A., she checked herself into the Royal Viking Motel, and she headed for the bar.
The Royal Viking?
Yes. Back at the house.
Pretty badass.
At this point, detectives have uncovered 7 bodies. And they have also now started on the inside of the house. And inside of the house, they found a list of residents whose checks were being deposited to Dorothea's account. So they basically used this list as
missing person list
to help identify the bodies. And they went through down this list and found the people who were still alive. And from this, they were able to figure out who these bodies were because they were no longer alive.
This is like a repeating story. It was just later on.
Yeah. So they went through the house documenting everything. They sent off samples for everything. And her personal rooms were pristine. In fact, her personal rooms were too pristine. Like the carpet was so well kept, it didn't look like anyone had ever even walked on it.
Okay, she's got OCD. I get that. I understand. I completely agree.
Old carpets, what's happened?
So one of the officers is like, wait a second. the carpet isn't tacked down. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
So he pulls the corner.
So she could roll it up while she did shit and then roll it back. Oh, when he
rolled up the carpet, he
figured... What an evil cunt.
So this is where Dorothea's way old life comes back into play. They found the source of the smell. They also found...
I bet they did.
They found bodily fluid evidence in long trails that led straight from her rooms to the garden.
So she was using that room as the kill room. And then she never
cleaned up the floor. So she never cleaned up, like, it was hardwood floor, basically. And she never cleaned up any of that bodily fluid.
We're talking about human remains that have liquefied and gone into
floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now there's a bunch of paparazzi outside, right? And all the neighbors and everything wondering what the hell is going on, because this house is being dug up, like these gardens are being dug up. What is happening?
It's Hollywood. Yeah. Babylon's what it is, only it's not Hollywood.
Well, one of them realizes, so somebody says, where is Dorothea? Why hasn't she been brought out yet? And in that moment, Detective Cabrera realizes that he had
ding dong, yo, ding dong.
Mm-hmm.
So he races down to the hotel and gets told that she was never there. So the strangest manhunt in the history of the world.
Woman hunt. Let's be politically correct here. Jesus, Lindy. Jesus. What are you doing, you stupid bitch? What's going on here?
So let's cross back over to L.A. where Dorothea is. So in the person hunt, let's be politically correct.
No, that was a joke. That was just a joke.
I'm kidding.
In the hunt,
they have sent broadcasts out with Dorothea's pictures all over them. Newspapers, TV, everything.
Have you seen my grandma?
Yeah, exactly. So she is at the bar near her hotel, and she meets this man named Charles Wilkes. And she's flirting with him, and she told him that her bag had been lost on arrival to L.A. And all of her money had been in it. But
of course she did.
She is telling him, like, I'm wealthy. I just don't have any of my funds and no access to it right now. They're still trying to figure this out. So he looks at the state of her, because she's in kind of a... She didn't leave with any clothes or anything. So one of the heels on her high heel
had She's a Malaysian email or something.
I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, one of the heels off of her high heels had actually broke. And so she was walking on unsolid shoes, and her dress was kind of tattered and raggedy, because at this point she'd been wearing it for like about a week.
Gross.
So he decides to be a nice man, and he took her to a street cobbler, and he paid to have her shoes repaired. And during all of this, she's asking him about, like, where he lives and about his house and
how much money he makes.
Yeah, how much money you make. And how big his dick is.
And she says, you know, an inch really does matter.
Apparently.
I said I've heard an inch counts.
I thought it was all about the emotional, you know, the emotional bond between people, but whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what it's all about. So she also asks him how it is that he can afford to pay to have her shoe repaired for her. And he tells her about his home and that he is disabled, basically. So he's getting disability benefits. And she goes in to tell him about all of these other supplemental benefits that he might be missing out on. She sounds like one of those fucking, you or someone, you know,
drawing in kind of bullshit. Yeah.
So she was trying to get an invitation, back to his home with him, but instead he offered to pick her up the next morning and take her around town to shop for some clothes. And so she agrees, and he goes home, and he's like, okay, it seems kind of odd to me that she is trying to basically get an invitation to my home. She's already talking about marriage, all of this kind of stuff. Like I realize that we're both elderly, but why is she trying to move so fast? And then it dawns on him that she looked kind of familiar, like he had seen her somewhere. And CBS was playing the story. So he decides that instead of calling the police, he's going to call CBS. And when he calls CBS, he actually got the editor, Gene Silver. And Gene told him, watch the next program. We're going to run it again and see if you can make a positive ID off of that and call me back. Well, on the next program, it didn't run. So Charles actually was like, what the hell? So he calls Gene back. Instead of running it on the next program, Gene actually drove to Charles' home with the pictures of Dorothea.
Oh, shit.
And Charles was able to make a positive identification. And since he was supposed to pick her up in the morning, he knew where she was. So he told Gene Silver, who in turn got a hold of his reporters and the police. And the next morning, Dorothea was woken up to just like an assault of banging on her door. So she answered, and she was temporarily blinded by the flashes from the press taking pictures. So the press had found her, and so had the police, and the whole arrest was captured on press footage. So
you can see it on YouTube.
When the officer asked for ID, she had taken a couple of IDs with her so that she could present false ones. But when the officer asked her for ID, because of the commotion that was going on around her, she actually grabbed her real ID and gave it to him. So she had now positively identified herself. The press paid to have her extradited back.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yes. But
what?
The press essentially paid for every seat on the plane except for two. Well, they paid for the other two, but so the press occupies 98% of the plane, and the other two seats was the officer and Dorothea.
Yeah.
So they could
ride with her and be like, just fucking hound her the whole time, right?
Yeah, they are hounding her with questions. The only thing that she had to say besides, I did not kill those people, I may have cashed their checks, but I did not kill them, was I used to be a good person. Those were the only two statements that she made the entire time.
When I was four, I used to be a good person when I was four.
Oh.
Maybe seven.
I think yes, I used to be.
No, no, I'm adding that. She might have been a good person when she was still a child is what I mean.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So when they got back, she was booked immediately and held on one count of murder for Bert Montoya. And in the end, she was tried for 9 counts of murder, and she did receive life in prison. She was 64 when she went to prison, and she died March 25th.
She got to live that long doing that shit.
Well, she's a woman. She's going to live long.
But I mean, just being free, though. She got to live till that age before she got in trouble for any of that shit.
Yeah. So she died March 27th, 2011, at the age of 82.
She lived at 82. I ain't living to 82. I promise.
I'm left-handed and colorblind, so fuck no.
You ain't making it. You ain't making it 82 either.
If I make it to 70, I'll be happy.
And me? That,
I don't. I probably won't be happy. But Lindy, you nailed that shit. You nailed that shit. This lady was a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Me, you, and Grant will be rocking out in heaven, dude. That's what we'll do.
Thank you very much, Lindy. That was great. Guys, if you have anything you want to have us cover.
I was angry, but not as angry as some of the other ones.
I'm good. I can handle this shit.
There's a perfect balance. Yeah, you I mean, just
Lady was this lady was fucking.
It was right. It was right there teetering on.
She's like she's like a bell gunnist, and then you take it down like three notches.
Yes.
She's a bell gunnist who was better with her finances.
Yes.
Yeah, and she didn't kill kids.
That's the thing, basically. So yeah. Lindy killed it on this one. Loved it.
He moited it. Moited.
And I didn't know this whole story. I only knew part of it. So you really enlightened me on that?
After we started the first episode,
you didn't know who it was?
I found a series on Netflix called Worst Roommate Ever, and it's actually on that. And
yes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
It covers it if you want to see how ugly this bitch was. Yes, anyway. Yes. Thank you guys for tuning in this week.
Why are they all ugly?
They're not all ugly.
Is that what their problem is? They're so mad because they're not good looking.
No, it's because they have small penises. Anyway.
What? I don't know. Okay.
Are we good? Are we good?
We're good.
I think so. I don't know. I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
Guys, thanks for tuning in.
I don't know where that turn came from.
We will see you next week. Until then, I'm Zach.
Spar.
Lindy.
And we will see you next Tuesday. Later.
Later.
Bye.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?